What is up, basketball fans? Welcome to the NBA Outlet. I'm your host, Nick Fabe. With me, as always, Corey Waldron. What's up, Corey? How you doing?
I'm doing good. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Yes, the trade deadline is approaching. We got about 5 days right now. Obviously, we're recording this on Saturday. What we're going to do today is kind of go through all the top players, mention rumors. You know, we're not going to hit everybody, but as many as we can. And always a quick reminder, check us out, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube. But Corey, before we get into the players, which team are you guaranteeing is going to make a trade?
What team am I guaranteeing makes a trade?
This is Corey's guarantee.
The Los Angeles Lakers. Is that a cop-out?
No, it's not. Because I actually think there's a chance that they don't, but I like the fact that you're guaranteeing because, like, there's a chance where maybe they want to hold on to their assets for Anthony Davis. Obviously, we saw that low ball offer they threw at the Pelicans already, so not sure how that's going to go. But I think the Lakers will be a team that we mentioned a lot today.
For sure. It may not be a huge move, but I think there's just too much emphasis on the Lakers needing to improve their roster to do nothing.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the team that's talking to them the most, and that's the Pelicans. I think they're guaranteed to make a move and move one of those smaller guys. Not Anthony Davis, but, you know, Mirotić, Julius Randle, Etuan Moore, whoever it is. Actually, getting to the Pelicans, that'll be our segue. You know, we'll talk Anthony Davis later. If you want to hear a full pod on him, you could check it out, you know, like we mentioned on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, whatever it is. But Nikola Mirotić, you know, obviously he's a stretch four. He's a $12.5 million expiring. Teams interested in him so far have been like the Sixers and the Jazz. What are your thoughts on him?
I mean, he's perfect for what a lot of teams are looking for. As you mentioned, a stretch four. Can play a little bit of the three, but he's not as lateral quick. I mean, he makes sense for the Sixers. There was a couple other teams that I had him kind of pegged at that I think would make sense, like the Brooklyn Nets, the Detroit Pistons, the Portland Trailblazers. All teams that are looking for a little bit more offense. But I think Mirotić is going to be a guy a lot of teams are calling for because, as we know, the three-point shot is so important in the NBA.
Yeah, he's a great stretch four. He can start in this league. You know, he's actually a solid defender, solid rebounder. He can do other things. So, like you said, I think there'll be a good amount of teams interested in him, especially expiring. It's not like New Orleans is going to be asking for a high pick or a young player. You'll probably get him for a low first-round pick or maybe 2 seconds.
For sure.
Now, the other counterpart in New Orleans, Julius Randle, you know, $8.6 million this year expiring, but he does have a player option for next year, which he'll most likely decline. It's a career year for him. What are some teams you think will be interested in him? Because he's an interesting fit with a lot of teams.
Yeah, he's kind of tough to gauge. We mentioned him a little bit when we broke down the aftermath of the Anthony Davis trade. And, you know, he can't really play the four. He realistically is good at a small ball five. As you mentioned, offensively and rebounding-wise, he's been tremendously better this year. Some teams that I look at that may be interested in him would be like the Memphis Grizzlies. You know, obviously they were in rebuild mode. Maybe they're interested in trying to acquire some younger pieces. Houston is intriguing because of how they like the small ball lineups. You know, a team like Charlotte, who's on the cusp of making the playoffs, maybe they want to try and get younger and show Kemba they're adding pieces. But realistically, there's just not a lot of great ideal spots for Julius Randle out there.
Yeah, it's a tough fit for him. I actually like that Charlotte pick because they don't necessarily have anybody in the front court that's really going to steal minutes from him, and he could play at the four or the five. I think another scenario is maybe you can play him at the four if you have a stretch five, somebody who can knock down the three ball. But like you said, it's just not necessarily a good fit. He's going to be a guy this summer that's going to look to get paid as well. Another role player on that team, Etuan Moore. You know, he has 2 years left on his deal, $8.8 million and $8.6 million. You know, great three-point shooter, shot over 40% the last 2 years, can really give somebody a big boost off the bench.
Yeah, I love Etuan Moore. I think this is a guy this is probably one of the most likely players I see to be dealt because he's not a big name. This is a role player. You know, and teams that could want him, you know, Raptors, Sixers, Detroit, Houston, Portland, Oklahoma City, I would assume, would have some interest too, probably. Most teams are going to like a guy who plays solid defense and can stretch the floor.
Yeah, that, you know, he's just a good fit, like you said. He's a great complementary player to a lot of different things, a lot of different teams. You know, he can shoot the three ball, good off-ball movement. He's kind of one of those more underrated guys, and he's a guy you could easily see moved. And, you know, the Pelicans are looking to grab assets, so it would make sense on their part. Now, Jrue Holiday is a guy that, you know, some people are speculating will be traded. So far, it does not look like New Orleans is going to move him, so we'll save him for another day. Would we be surprised if he was traded? Not really, but I don't think it's highly likely.
I'd agree with that.
So moving on to Memphis, they got Marc Gasol over there, obviously post-prime all-star. You know, he's not the same player he once was, but he's probably still a top 15 center, and he can kind of bring some different areas of improvement to your team. You know, 24 mil this year, a $25 million player option next year. What are some teams looking at him?
Honestly, I don't really have any teams down for him. I have Detroit as like a bubble. If they were trying to move off the Andre Drummond and Reggie Jackson contract, maybe they could get Gasol. But realistically, I don't think anybody in the NBA is interested in acquiring a 34-year-old, 35-year-old center making $25 million a year. Obviously, he was really good to start off the year. He's kind of regressed the last couple months. But I don't see any team that's buying or trying to acquire talent looking to get Marc Gasol. I don't think any teams that are trying to sell off want his contract or want him on the books because he has a player option for next year.
So I got two teams. You know, you mentioned the Pistons. I think they'll make a call. I think Charlotte, it makes sense for them. They could probably get rid of one of their bad contracts in exchange and maybe send maybe one asset over or something along those lines. And then there's been some chatter about San Antonio. You know, they've been great with old players. He would fit the kind of system they play. You know, he'd probably be ideal there.
Yeah, I like the idea of Charlotte because, I mean, Kemba's never had that kind of help, a center who can also play make a little bit. Obviously, he's a defensive anchor as well. I like the thought of him in Charlotte, but it does make sense. And like I mentioned earlier with the Randall part, you know, Charlotte's going to be looking to try to acquire some sort of talent to try and please Kemba.
Yeah, and, you know, with Charlotte, they have bad contracts they can send back, so maybe it's not as bad for them. Now, on to Mike Conley. You know, obviously, he's making $30 million this year, $32 million next year, and $34 million the following year. You know, still top 15 point guard, two-way player, can really add a lot to your team. You know, a team so far interested is the Utah Jazz. There was some speculation about your Pacers as well.
Yeah, I think you know, Detroit would be another team I wouldn't mind seeing him on. I think he would be a nice complimentary piece to Blake Griffin, who's having a tremendous career year. But Utah makes a lot of sense. You know, I think I mentioned that on the outlet a couple shows ago. You know, he can score. He kind of fits the defensive mantra they have in Utah. He would take some of the ball handling duties off of the shoulders of Donovan Mitchell. The Indiana aspect of things is complicated. Because before Victor Oladipo got hurt, I was 100% in on them making this move, actually, just to have that kind of established point guard. Mike Conley has Indiana ties. It would kind of be a little coming home reunion. But then, obviously, with Oladipo getting hurt, it's kind of clouded whether or not the Pacers are going to be interested. But I think Utah makes a lot of sense. And if I had to make a guess, I'd say it's probably a 70-30 chance he ends up in Utah.
Yeah, it seems like they're already in negotiations right now. You know, I think there's been some reports that, you know, Memphis is kind of sitting on it to see if they're getting any better offers. But Utah seems like the favorite. And like you mentioned, it would really take Utah to a new level. And I think if they make a trade for Mike Conley, it almost guarantees they'd get into the second round, depending on who they match up with.
I would think so, yeah.
Because, that, I mean, it would just be so great for, you know, watching Utah the other day, the fact that Ricky Rubio can't shoot threes just really hurts their offense so much. I think it would just unlock so much more for them.
For sure. Ricky Rubio is a little bit limited.
Yeah, a little bit. Garrett Temple is another name. Jamichael Green, Justin Holiday, we'll kind of bunch these all together. These are some bench guys, all on expiring contracts, that can kind of give you some boost.
Yeah, I mean, Garrett Temple, that's a vet, you know, a good 3-and-D guy. You know, I got the Sixers and Detroit around his name. Detroit, I'm going to mention a lot in this podcast because they just need a lot of help. And a lot of these guys actually could help Detroit for what they lack, which is offense and some defense. And then Jamichael Green, I have him penciled down for the Brooklyn Nets, Houston, a little bit older. I know the Nets had interest in him last offseason or the offseason before. Is that right, Nick, or no?
They might have had a little bit, I think, in the previous offseason in him, but you know, he hasn't necessarily played amazing, but I think it'd be a guy they might look at.
Right. And then Holiday, I think Holiday's an interesting guy. He hasn't been great in Memphis since being traded away from the Bulls. But that's another guy who can play solid defense with some wingspan. He can shoot the ball. So Detroit, Philly, Portland are all teams they'll get for Holiday as well.
Yeah, I'll start with Garrett Temple. You know, like you said, he's a veteran, gives you a solid wing, knows how to play basketball. A team like Houston has been mentioned to be interested in him. Also the Lakers, which makes a lot of sense too. Jermichael Green, kind of a stretch for. He can knock down the three, doesn't shoot a ton of game. We'll give you a little bit of bench depth right there. I think you mentioned like the Nets. I think Houston would be interested. Any team looking to kind of bolster their bench and give themselves a little bit more versatility. And Justin Holiday is an interesting piece because I think there's still room for improvement, but I'm not sure how much he's going to help a playoff or a championship team. Now over to Dallas. You know, Dallas obviously made the huge move with Porzingis. You want to check that out. We did an NBA outlet a few days. Corey wasn't on there, but I believe he's going to talk about it on the next Full Access Hoops that drops. Sure. So Harris, yeah, I got the sources. So we're over to Dallas. You know, they're still going to be busy because there's a chance they want to unlock more cap space for the summer so they could even make a big three. So guys like Harrison Barnes, who's making $24 million this year, $25 million player option for next year. And then same thing for Dwight Powell, 9.6 this year and 10 the following year on a player option.
Yeah, Harrison Barnes is interesting. This guy is still young. We've seen glimpses of him being maybe like the second or third option on a team. I don't think he can ever be your best player. A couple teams are looking for Harrison Barnes, and I don't even like, obviously there's been no rumors of any of these teams. The Atlanta Hawks, the Indiana Pacers, and I know the Pacers may be an interesting one, but they got some expirings that maybe would interest Dallas. They necessarily wouldn't be against having a Victor Oladipo, Harrison Barnes, Miles Turner type situation. Atlanta obviously is rebuilding. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe Miami had some slight interest, but the contract for Barnes is what's tricky.
Yeah, no, the contract definitely is. And the thing with Barnes, you said it, he's shown flashes, but honestly, like, he's not efficient. Like, he's not a guy that you're like, all right, you know, I'm really buying in him to really take my team to the next level. I think it's more of like, all right, he needs to improve more to take that next step. I don't think he's a third option right now. I think he needs to take another level. You mentioned teams like Miami or Atlanta or the Pacers. I think they all make sense, especially Miami's contract situation. But again, Dallas doesn't want any contract probably for the future. They're looking to get some expiring. So that's where the Pacers could come in. Like, that actually makes a lot of sense, and I didn't really connect those two. But if the Pacers wanted to get somebody who they could think they could improve in their player development system, Harrison Barnes might be a good fit.
Yeah, and they have the expiring deal that would entice Dallas to want to make the move.
Exactly. You know what? You throw in Darren Collison and Bogdanovich or something along those lines, or one of the other guys, and now you got the deal done. And I don't think like Dallas is asking for assets really, because I'm not sure Harrison Barnes is such a positive asset that they wouldn't be okay just getting the salary relief.
Right. Especially knowing that Porzingis is going to need to get re-signed this upcoming offseason.
Yeah, and we mentioned this a little bit on the Porzingis pod. I think one thing for Dallas, even if Porzingis were to sign the qualifying offer, could almost benefit them because they'd have more cap space to go after a big free agent this year. Now they sign him, and then they have the bird rights to Porzingis the following year. Next thing you know, they have a big three locked up for 3 or 4 years with Luka. So something to consider. They could get really crazy with their books. Dwight Powell, you know, energy backup big, no three-point shot, but not a terrible piece.
I honestly don't have any true team circled for this, for Dwight Powell. I had just like a couple teams down. And don't hate me because I know that I had the Nets down as one of them. I had the Nets, Houston, Minnesota.
I could guarantee you the Nets wouldn't trade for him unless it meant that they were getting rid of Allen Crabbe's contract.
Okay. And Dallas probably wouldn't want Allen
Crabbe. Yeah, we'd need a three team trade in that one.
Right.
They did have interest in Powell when he was a restricted free agent, and they were thinking about offering him an offer sheet, but I don't think he's progressed the way they probably liked.
Yeah. Besides that, it's, again, you know, the fact that he can't really shoot, he's kind of like a rim runner. It's a little tough to find a landing spot for guys like that.
Talking rim runner, next guy, Willie Cauley-Stein. You know, $4.6 million expiring. He is a restricted free agent if you do trade for him. He's having a career year. Obviously, very athletic center, rim runner, shot blocker. You know, he's a guy out there. The Kings aren't 100% locked into him. So if you wanted him, you could probably go get him.
Yeah, I mean, he's restricted, right? So, I mean, who knows? Maybe Cleveland it could get interested. Maybe Chicago could get interested.
I like Cleveland. That's an interesting idea right there. Obviously, they have Tristan Thompson's money locked up, but he's not their long-term fit. Willie Cauley-Stein, you know, they have a couple of bench pieces in Cleveland that they might have interest in.
Yeah, and then I think of, like, this wouldn't be, like, the direct move, but if Detroit is to get off Andre Drummond, maybe they look to get a guy like Willie Cauley-Stein to kind of play the DeAndre Jordan role next to Blake Griffin, which is, you know, a guy who's kind of limited offensively, small ego. Then out west, there's not – I don't see any team out west being interested. Maybe if New Orleans moves off of, you know, all of their players they're selling, maybe they get interested in another young guy like Willie Cauley-Stein. But out west, there's probably less suitors.
I think Dallas is an interesting place because of losing DeAndre Jordan and Willie Cauley-Stein kind of fitting that role. Obviously, we just talked about them wanting cap space, but he wouldn't really kill the bank, and now you have a center next to Porzingis for a while.
Well, that's a good point.
And, you know, like we said, they're from the same draft class, so that's interesting as well. Willie Cauley-Stein also took, like, a big jump this year. I wouldn't be surprised if he could take another jump. I don't think he's ever going to be more offensively. But defensively, I think there's still even more potential he can kind of get to just by getting more experience in the league. Over to the Lakers, which you said is guaranteed to make a trade. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, $12 million expiring. No, he's not having a great season, so I'm not really sure what's going to go on with this.
Yeah, I mean, a name that's been popped up quite frequently since the start of the year. Lakers obviously are going to want to move him if they're going to better the roster. Houston may have some slight outside interest. I think their interest has to have dipped. I think Houston's an interesting place. Wouldn't be surprised if maybe an OKC or a Portland got involved possibly for the shooting. You know, maybe Charlotte takes the risk. But I don't see any top teams in the East or really any top teams in the West being majorly interested.
It's in a weird situation because I think most teams are like, all right, we'll take on Kentavious Caldwell-Pope as an expiring contract if you take this salary, which you're going to have for a year or two. The Lakers look at it like, no, we want cap space for this summer. So I really don't know what's going to happen with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope unless they can include him in a bigger deal where he's a salary filler and the other team doesn't really care because they're getting other assets. But that's like the only way I see him move. Like, I'm not sure anybody's like, all right, I want to trade for Caldwell-Pope's $12 million, and I really don't know what he's going to bring to my team.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting one. We could literally talk about every single Laker player. Are there any guys that stick out to you that'll be on the move this year? Unless, you know, obviously Anthony Davis trade, almost all of them are going to be on the move. But any other guys you think will be on the move?
No, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they moved one of the expirings in a Michael Beasley or a Lance Stevenson to try and free up some room. But again, like, they don't really the younger assets are what are important. The veterans on this roster are really unappealing. A lot of them can't really shoot. A lot of them are a little bit older. But, you know, and as you mentioned, the younger guys, I don't see any of these younger guys getting moved unless it's for Anthony Davis. Because now that we know Davis is opening on the market, the Lakers aren't going to go after any other superstar with these assets.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Like, the only thing I could see the Lakers doing is maybe if they traded one of these young pieces to get more assets, but they're trying to win now, so that wouldn't necessarily make sense. So it's just a weird situation because they're so locked in on Anthony Davis, which in some ways could come back to bite them if he goes to Boston or New York or some other team, and now all of a sudden they're sitting on these assets. And the way it's been viewed around the league, I don't know, I can't speak for executives, but for the NBA media, it seemed like everybody's kind of getting sour on a lot of these prospects. They're not quite as high as they were at the beginning of the year.
For sure. No, it's definitely soured.
Yeah, so something to keep an eye on. Obviously, we know what's happened with the Lakers. They were guaranteed to get Paul George. They were guaranteed to get Kawhi Leonard. Hasn't happened yet. We'll see
what
happens.
Funny how these guarantees have worked out.
Yeah, so you better be careful with your guarantee. Josh
like
Jackson.
That's a slogan.
Yeah, don't guarantee. But Josh Jackson, you know, the Suns don't really have a ton of vets on that team anymore. You know, no one's trading for Ryan Anderson. But Josh Jackson's been a guy mentioned in trade rumors who they're looking to kind of move for a point guard.
Well, just looking at the landscape of the NBA and how Josh Jackson's career has kind of been, I looked at some teams that are – kind of selling. So like Atlanta, maybe if they want to get off Jeremy Lin, get off a veteran point guard, bring in a wing like Josh Jackson, you can maybe fit the tempo. I think Chicago could have slight interest. Obviously they just made basically everybody available last night, it felt like. And then I actually have the Pacers penciled down as a possible team only because, again, the Pacers don't have a wing for the future. They do have two expirings in point guards, which the Suns have been looking for, in Corey Joseph and Darren Collison. Granted, I'm not saying these guys are long-term fits, but Collison's a decent playmaker, decent three-point shooter, and you know, maybe the Pacers think they can bring in Josh Jackson and you know, mold him into a better wing player. Otherwise, in the West, I don't see, you know, maybe a Memphis or a New Orleans takes the flyer on getting a young asset, but I don't think any of the teams above them are really interested in getting a raw small forward.
Yeah, I like the Pacers fit. That's a good point. I think they can move one of their expirings, get him in there. I think a change of scenery will be good for Josh Jackson. I also like the idea of Memphis, like you said. Maybe it's even just like Shelvin Mack and like some picks or something. Just they need a stable point guard for the rest of the season to help with development. If there's some type of young point guard they can get, I'm not sure. You know, most teams who have young point guards aren't looking to move them.
Yeah, That's the biggest issue right there is how sacred the point guard position is. Like, if you can get a point guard in on your roster who's competent, you don't want to move on from him.
Yeah, and then even when you do have point guards, like, you want to have almost 3 point guards nowadays, sometimes 4 ball handlers because of injuries and whatnot. Yeah. So something to think about. Over to the Hawks, a team that will probably be very active. I would almost put them as a guarantee to make a move. If they don't make a move, I guarantee they'll make a buyout. First off, Dwayne Dedman, $6.3 million expiring. Great backup center. You know, has a three-point shot. It's been rumored to have interest from the Sixers and Pistons. I think another team to consider would probably be, like, the Nets.
I thought about Dallas, too, after DeAndre Jordan moving and it being only 6.9. Mm-hmm. I think Dallas could have some interest, obviously. But all the teams you mentioned, I think those are all the other teams I had mentioned as well in my mind.
Yeah, and I think Desmond's like most of these Hawks guys, I don't think you're going to have to give a first-round pick. I think you'll get them for an early second, maybe a late first, like if you're talking like 28, 29, or 30, something along those lines. So he's a guy to keep an eye on, and I think he could benefit a lot of teams with the way he plays. He's just a solid vet. But Jeremy Lin, a guy we kind of mentioned a few times already, $12.5 million expiring, great backup point guard. You know, he can also play the shooting guard a little bit. He's got a veteran presence, good locker room guy. Where can he land up?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Detroit – Orlando seems to be trying to make a playoff push, I think. And then otherwise, other than that, I think Phoenix makes some sense. I don't see a ton of other spots for Jeremy Lin, but I think those three teams make sense. And maybe, I don't know, if Utah strikes out on Mike Conley, maybe they get interested in Jeremy Lin.
That's not a bad move for them.
I think Jeremy Lin could be like a backup option for some teams who are looking for bigger fish. But the smaller teams I mentioned initially would probably be where you land.
And the one team rumored so far to have interest is the Kings. So that's something to keep an eye on, too.
Interesting. I think
Lin is a guy, like you said, he can be a nice backup plan for a lot of teams. He can play point guard, shooting guard, good combo guard, kind of understands how to play basketball. So I would expect him to be on a different team come March. Now, Kent Bazemore, obviously $18 million this year, $19 million the following year. You know, he's an athletic wing, not a great three-point shooter, probably a fringe starter. You know, the Rockets have had some interest. Who else are you thinking?
Yeah, Rockets for sure. If Portland could somehow swing Evan Turner off their books, I think they would prefer to have a guy like Ken Bazemore. Outside of that, I think Detroit maybe, if they could figure it out. Charlotte possibly, if they could get off one of their bigger contracts. The Ken Bazemore, he also hasn't had a fantastic year. He's been solid for Atlanta. His podcast is probably the best part about this season, the Winging In podcast. But, you know, the 18 to 19 is just another interesting hiccup in trying to move Bazemore. I don't see a ton of contending teams looking to take on that kind of salary.
Yeah, the only other team I could think of would maybe be like a Miami possibly. They wanted to, like, upgrade, but they have so much wing depth over there that maybe they are trying to get some of their contracts off and Atlanta could take them because they still have a year or two left in the rebuild. But like you said, a team that's trading for Bazemore is probably going to be cap-strapped or a team that just, like, doesn't have much movement or hopes for the summertime. So they're kind of the teams looking at him. Torian Prince, he popped up on the rumor mill not that long ago, 2.5 this year, 3.4 the next year. Then he becomes a restricted free agent, only 24 years old, you know, has shown a lot of potential. Teams rumored to be interested so far is Portland, Philadelphia.
I have so many teams listed for him.
I mean, there's a good reason why. You know, 3-and-D, young 3-and-D players have high value. You're also trading for a salary-controlled contract for the next 2 years, and then he's restricted free agent if you like him.
Yeah, I mean, I have the Sixers down. I have the Pacers down. I have the Nets down. I have the Hornets down. I have Detroit down. I have OKC down. I have Portland down. I have Houston down. And that's it.
Like, just talking from the Nets' perspective, the Nets have 3 picks going to this year. They have their own pick, the Denver pick, and then the Knicks' second-round pick, which is essentially a first-round pick because it's going to be the first pick of the second round. I think you consider trading Denver or the Knicks' pick or a combination of maybe future seconds for him because this draft class isn't necessarily amazing. So you get a player like him. He is a little bit older, but just the fact is you know he's going to have a role on your team.
Exactly. I mean, for me, what makes his value so much more is the fact, like you mentioned, he's a restricted free agent. I mean, knowing that you bring this guy in, you're going to have him for at least the next 3 years, you know, or maybe even more, maybe even the next 6 years, depending on how long the restricted free agency, the deal becomes. But yeah, he's an interesting player.
Yeah, he's a guy to keep an eye on. It's interesting. But The one thing that also makes it interesting is why Atlanta's trying to get rid of him. I mean, 24 is a little bit older than the rebuild age, I guess, for them, but still something to keep an eye on. Another team in that division, Wayne Ellington, $6.2 million expiring. You know, a lot of talk's been they could probably get a high second round pick for him. And he's not getting a ton of minutes, so it kind of makes sense to move him.
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of just contenders or teams hoping to contend. The Raptors, I think, who have kind of, you know, CJ Miles has been a disaster from the three-point line. The Sixers, who are in need of some shooting. I think the Lakers are another team who will be calling for him. Oklahoma City, Portland could use a shooter like him. Houston would find value in Wayne Ellington. Those are a couple teams that I have my eye on. All teams look that can use just a marksman.
Yeah, and like you said, I mean, it's a lot of playoff and championship team. Anybody who wants to add another three-point shooter, Wayne Ellington's that guy. You could bring him off the bench for anywhere from 10 to 20 minutes. He's going to give you a great off-ball movement and knock down a couple threes. Any other bad contracts on the Heat you think are be on the move or not really because they're bad contracts?
If Goran Dragic was healthy, I say there's a good chance someone could come calling for him as a point guard. Deion Waiters, I mean, maybe some team wants to take a flyer, but nah, I think their contracts, you know, some help from the Nets, they're kind of just locked into what they got.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, that Tyler Johnson contract ain't pretty. And their assets are limited, too, for moving any of these guys in a deal where maybe they could sweeten it when they really can't. Moving on from the Heat, though, Otto Porter Jr., $26 million this year, $27 million next year, and then the following year is a player option for $28 million. You know, he's a good wing. But can you take it to another level to earn that contract is a question.
No. I mean, this is a guy who, again, the Nets offered him the offer sheet, right?
Yeah. Shout out Sean Marks. He's ruining your salary.
I don't think he's ever going to be worth $28 million. I don't even think he's going to be ever worth $24 million, if I'm being honest. He's probably more of a $21 to $22 million player, which is still a lot of money. I still think he can ever be the number one or a number two option. I think he's a borderline number three option on a contending championship-level team probably. Then looking at the landscape of the NBA, how many teams can really afford to take on that kind of contract? You know, the Kings have had interests, I know, of maybe the Pelicans now with everything happening. Maybe they'll get back into the race for him. You know, I think if Charlotte could somehow convince the Wizards to take on Nicholas Batum's contract, maybe they have interest in Otto Porter Jr. But again, like the assets don't really equal up, then you have to give up Monk and some of those younger guys, Bridges. It's an interesting scenario for Otto Porter Jr. He's one of those guys who I think they want to move, but I just don't necessarily see him being moved.
A few teams rumored has been the Blazers, who are looking to upgrade on the wing. They have a couple bad contracts to move on their own. Also, the Kings are one of the before the Nets had the offer sheet for them. They were the next team that would do that. So sure. Keep an eye on those two. But like you said, contract wise, it's going to be have somebody who's really committed to Otto Porter. Now, another wing who signed a big contract in this division, Aaron Gordon. You know, there hasn't been a ton of chatter, but Zach Lowe hinted at it. And obviously, Zach Lowe is well respected. So if he's going to say it, we're going to say it. $21 million this year, $19.8 million next year, $18 million the following year, and then $16 million on the last year. So it's a declining contract, which is ideal for trading. You know, teams mentioned Blazers, Pacers, and Dallas.
Yeah, I think it makes
Atlanta,
a lot.
Sorry, Atlanta too.
I mean, it makes sense in Atlanta with what they're trying to do with the tempo, trying to push it up the floor. He's been a better three-point shooter as of late. Dallas, I also like the idea of, you know, Luka, Porzingis, and Gordon could be really fun. You got the high flyer, you got the freak and the unicorn. That's entertaining. The idea of the Pacers, I know they had interest last offseason. I mean, I'm not necessarily against it per se, but if you're getting Aaron Gordon, then you're definitely moving on from Thaddeus Young. And I'm not sure I'm ready to do that because I don't think you can play Aaron Gordon at the three. At least I wouldn't want him at the three. You want him at the four, and then getting rid of Thaddeus Young to me. You know, we talk about how important culture and everything is. Thaddeus Young is a big piece of the culture in Indiana. I think that would hurt.
Yeah, is Thaddeus Young's an expiring contract this year?
Yeah, he is. But there's been a lot of talk that the Pacers want him to be a Pacer for life.
Interesting. It also could be Thaddeus moving to a bench role. He's getting a little older up there. So something to consider, like you said, though, it would be tough to have, you know, Aaron Gordon, Miles Turner, Sabonis, and Thaddeus Young. You have four good players and only so many minutes to give them. But I like I think the one thing that makes Gordon more intriguing now that I see his contract is the contract. The fact it's declining, like I think it's a lot more interesting. It's like you have to deal with you're getting him in his prime at his cheapest price.
Yeah, I mean I didn't realize the contract was declining. That's definitely, I mean, $16 million 3 years from now is extremely. That's great value. Simple as that.
That could just be one of the like super steals that allow you to get a big free agent that year because just the way your salary is lined up. Even $18 million for Aaron Gordon isn't bad. He hasn't been amazing this year, but he's had good stretches. And, you know, I'm going to throw a shot at player development Orlando. They haven't done a great job. Obviously, I know coaching and front office has changed, but we've seen guys like Oladipo and Tobias Harris. Even Elfrid Payton has done better in New Orleans.
Yeah, I mean, it speaks on why Orlando has been where they are. Where they have been. The last decade.
Yeah, so just keep an eye on him. And I don't even know if you'd have to give up a ton. And then Orlando's future, if they're committed to the future, which they could end up being because I think they're still 10 games under 500, they're going to be moving more towards Bamba and Isaac. You know what I mean? That's like their future front court. And Gordon, like we said, best fit isn't the three. Talking about the rest of their current front court, Nikola Vucevic, 12.7 expiring. You know, the biggest team tied to him so far is the Lakers.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably – where he ends up if he gets dealt. I mean, I think Charlotte could be like a dark horse if they're trying to acquire an all-star caliber talent to, you know, play alongside Kemba. But realistically, yeah, I think it's Lakers. It's what do you think about this possibly? A Detroit Andre Drummond? No, never mind. They won't want to have another center. Excuse me, that's just stupid. They have Mobamba.
It'd have to be a three-way trade. I don't think it's terrible if we were to go to Detroit, but someone have to take Andre Drummond, and we don't know if anybody wants Andre Drummond.
Right. That's why I paused myself. Yeah. So I think the Lakers make the most sense. I would say Charlotte would be interesting if they wanted to try and bolster up talent. But again, there's not a ton of teams I think that are looking. Oh, who knows? Maybe Dallas would be interested now that they moved on from DeAndre Jordan. But there's not a ton of teams looking for an expiring center like Vucevic, even though he's been incredible this season.
Yeah, he just got an all-star nod, so congrats on that. And like you said, I think it's just tough to trade center. He'd be a backup in most situations because a lot of teams already have their starting center in this league. So something to keep an eye on. Terrence Ross, a guy I know you like, a 10.5 mil expiring. You know, he's having a great year. Springy wing with a three ball. Lakers, Rockets, and Sixers have been interested.
Yeah, Lakers, Rockets, and Sixers are all on my list as well. I put the Pacers down. I put the Nets down. I put the Pistons down as well. And then I also threw down OKC and Portland.
Put them all down.
Yeah. I like his – we've mentioned this several times throughout the history of the NBA outlet, at least my time on the NBA outlet, how important the wing position has become. And Terrence Ross is another example of that. You know, not necessarily a starter – but the other night he dropped, I think, 27 against the Pacers in what's become a very sad stretch in my life. but he's good, and I think a lot of teams could use his athletic and ability to shoot from deep as this playoff race intensifies.
Yeah. And the way it's going for Orlando, it just makes sense to move on for both these guys because they are expiring and they're looking for the youth.
Value's up. His value's got to be way up.
Yeah, I think they – like if they came out of this with two late firsts for both these guys, I think that'd be a really good trade deadline for them. Like I know a lot of Magic fans are like, we want more. Vucevic is an all-star. But the matter of the fact is he's expiring, and you just don't get that much for expiring, especially for the positions, and you don't have any leverage at this time. So I think if they were to get two late first-round picks or maybe a combination of one first-round pick and two or three second-round picks, I think that'd be a good deadline for them.
I agree.
On to Cleveland. You know, we're not going to go through the guys, but, you know, Alec Burks, Rodney Hood, two guys that have been mentioned a lot. I think if a lot of teams miss out on some of the other wings, you could probably get these guys for a second-round pick and not really have to move much.
Rodney Hood is a guy I have targeted for the Pacers. I think they wanted to add wing depth, and he could possibly be the answer, obviously, not making a lot of money.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously you'd have to pay them this summer, but something to keep an eye on. Another guy in that division, the Chicago Bulls, Robin Lopez, $4.3 million expiring. His contract's a little bit big, so it might be harder to move him. If he's not traded, I would almost guarantee he's bought out.
Yeah, I don't personally have any teams down for him to be traded to. I had Dallas circled as a possibility only because they lost DeAndre, and if he was to be bought out, I think that might be a place that they try just to add some more, you know, let's make a playoff run talent. But I don't see a lot of landing spots for Robin Lopez.
Golden State's been a team that have interest in him. to give them one of those true centers they like to carry on their roster. Mm. So when he's bought out, I would expect him to sign there if he's not traded.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, and Bobby Portis, another guy who's been mentioned a lot, $2.4 million expiring. He's a restricted free agent, high-energy guy, and now he has a three-point shot. So he's a little interesting.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of teams I had down, like OKC, Portland. I would love if instead of having Patrick Patterson, OKC had Bobby Portis, because I think that's in reality what they were hoping to get.
They'd be like the most intimidating team in the league. They'd just be like super crazy at every position. Like they just have guys that are mean. Like
yeah. You go in there and you'd be scared for your life. And another team I had down for Bobby Portis would be Brooklyn as well. I don't know if you'd be interested in him as like a stretch four for you guys, but I have him down for them as well in Detroit.
Yeah, he's grown on me a little bit. I think the only thing that ever worries me with Portis is obviously the whole punching Mirotić in the face thing. Yeah. But if he's past that and he's a little bit more mature, I think he does give you a good fit because he can play the five, he can play the four, he's athletic, and he plays hard. You know, I think there's still some development to his game, too, when he's a restricted free agent, so you'd have the option. Depends, too, if you want to pay him. Because usually if you're going after a restricted free agent, you're probably interested in keeping him long-term. Any of the other guys on Chicago you've seen getting moved? Obviously, you know, low mention, everybody but Markkanen and Carter are pretty much available for trade.
I mean, if you're making Chris Dunn available, I'm calling.
That's your guy. You really like Chris Dunn, huh?
He's a good player. He's a good player. The offense is it's still a little bit inconsistent from three at times. Plays good defense, can play make, is athletic. I think he can be a decent starter in the league for years to come, actually. I think he's got another level in his game. He's just coming back from injury, too. He hasn't even been fully healthy this year. I'm a big fan of Chris Dunn. You know, if Detroit could somehow get off Reggie Jackson, I think Chris Dunn would be a solid guy for them to have. Orlando could take a risk on Chris Dunn. Wouldn't it be necessarily shocked to see a team like New Orleans possibly get in the mix if they're trying to unload some of these guys? Aside from that, I don't think there's a ton of other places for Chris Dunn. I mean, I've even thought about the Pacers maybe making a run at him for the simple fact of defense, but they're probably going to be looking for people who can actually shoot the three-point shot, which is something that we don't do a lot of. But, yeah, I'm like Chris Dunn. Zach LaVine ain't moving. I thought it was comical to see Lowe say that they would like to move him, but he's probably stuck.
Guys, you just matched the offer sheet this summer. You signed up for this. But Chris Dunn, like, is an interesting guy. Like, I like the defense, but like you said, the three-point shot is concerning for me. I think he'd be good in a team. You know, Zach LaVine's kind of a good combination with him. Obviously, the Bulls just kind of suck. But a more ball-dominant, you know, shooting guard next to him where he can just focus on his defense and doing the small things. Anybody else on Chicago, though? Do you think Jabari Parker gets moved?
Nah, I don't think there's – I think Jabari maybe bought out, but with them having the team option for next year, you don't really need to.
Yeah, I mean, unless they just feel like they want the extra roster space for like a G League guy or something, I think it makes sense.
Yeah.
You don't have to pay the – I'm almost 100% sure they wouldn't have to pay the team option. They just buy him out for this season. So – something to consider for them. Andre Drummond, a guy that you've mentioned about 27 times on the show already. Thoughts on him? I can mention his contract too real quick for everyone listening. 25 million this year, $27 million next year, and then a $28 million player option for the third year.
Yikes. I mean, Andre Drummond is an interesting guy. I was listening to some podcast a couple months. It was actually Zach Lowe. And he was like, I got everything I need to know about Andre Drummond the other night with Blake Griffin out against the Sacramento Kings. In a game where Andre Drummond should dominate, Andre Drummond had 8 points and 8 rebounds. I remember like literally hearing Zach Lowe say this. He goes, and that was the very moment that I knew that Andre Drummond could not be any more than your third best player on the NBA team. And I think that's pretty true. His offensive game is limited, a very good rebounder, possibly the best rebounder in the NBA. I know he claims to be. Doesn't give you necessarily a ton because if he can't play great defense necessarily, which was a good piece, a Mythbuster piece by Jorge Cantu. You know, I think he's interesting. I think Charlotte, who's trying to add all-star talent, could be interested in him. You know, maybe if Atlanta saw something, maybe they'd be interested in trying to package him with, you know, having Trae Young have a guy he could throw oops to. But again, like, that doesn't make a lot of sense timeline-wise. And I don't see really any team in the West thinking, yeah, I got to go out and get Andre Drummond. You know, maybe New Orleans, if they losing Davis and everything that's about to transpire, maybe they see Andre Drummond locked up long-term and they think, yeah, maybe we can bring him in and he can be something to help us fill the seats, which aren't going to probably be filled anyways. And then I think Memphis, too, would be like a dark horse. I think it's something in terms of Connelly ending up in Detroit.
Yeah, it just Drummond is a guy that's tough to gauge because, like, I hate to say this about players, but you question his motor because there's games, I don't know, it wasn't last, it was before they got Blake Griffin, it was like 2 years ago, he started the season with like three or four, like 30 and 20 games. Like, he was just straight dominant. And, like, you just don't see that from him. He's just so inconsistent, and you don't really know what you're getting. And now he's overpaid, and he doesn't really have much offensively other than layups and putbacks and stuff. So, yeah, Andre Drummond's the guy. Like, he's almost I wouldn't call him a negative asset at this time, but I would definitely wouldn't call him a positive asset.
I'd agree with that, yeah. Definitely not a positive.
Now, talking about a negative asset, and no offense to him, Reggie Jackson, 17 mil this year, 18 mil next year. He's been pretty much bad since his first little stint with Detroit. He had that post-trade deadline trade, you know, play, and he was great. But ever since then, just been injured, hasn't been the same, and doesn't look like he's going to get back to that form.
I mean, pray Phoenix, pray Orlando, and pray maybe Memphis get any interest in possibly Reggie Jackson. Those are the only three teams I could see having – any desire maybe taking on his contract for flipping some sort of other asset. But Reggie Jackson, as you mentioned, besides that initial stretch after being traded to Detroit, he's been underwhelming. The knee tendonitis, as I think I've mentioned and quoted that you said, you know, it never goes away. He's going to have this forever. He hasn't been the point guard necessarily they hoped him to be. And, you know, my most recent Reggie Jackson memory is simply him bombing in that interview with Blake Griffin and being extremely awkward and cringy. And that's kind of like his tenure in Detroit, just awkward and cringy.
Well, you didn't see the latest cringy video where Blake Griffin is posting up. Blake Griffin throws in the ball at the 3-point line. Reggie Jackson throws it back and they just repeat it like three or four times. Then Blake Griffin just gets called for a 3-second violation because Reggie Jackson just keeps throwing the ball inside the paint.
Was he pissed?
Yeah, I didn't get to see the after effects of it quickly, but I would assume so. Like, it was just a terrible play. It was just like, it was, people brought up that play from the Will Ferrell basketball movie. I forget the name off the top of my head, but yeah, they compared it to
semi-pro.
Yeah, semi-pro. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that's how that kind of went for them. Enough about Reggie Jackson, though. Going to your Pacers, you know, Tyreek Evans, Darren Collison, any chance these guys get moved, or you think they're staying pat?
This has got to be, It's a weird place as a Pacers fan. Probably one of the first times that, like, I don't know if anyone is sure what the Pacers are going to do at this deadline. The Oladipo injury kind of shook the entire, I think, organization, the fan base on what do you do with all these expirings when you're not clearly good enough to make a deep playoff run, but you're also not bad enough to fall into the lottery. So I think it's interesting. And now guys like Tyreek Evans, Collison, I think they're going to move at least one of the point guards. Either Corey Joseph or Darren Collison will be moved. I think there's no doubt. It came out that apparently they want to re-sign Bojan Bogdanovic. Not necessarily against it. I don't think he should be the starting small forward in the future, but I'm not against it. Tyreek Evans, he's hurt, man. Bad, apparently. I don't know. He hasn't played the last 4 or 5 games with a hip injury.
He got in a car accident, right?
Yeah, I guess 4 or 5 days ago, he couldn't even walk. That's how bad it was. He couldn't get to the arena for practice. He was still unable to walk, basically. So that's concerning because obviously what team's going to want to trade for a guy who's just in a car accident and is having hip issues? We know how bad hip injuries are. I mean, Isaiah Thomas, he hasn't even been on the floor dealing with his hip injury from a couple years ago. So I think Darren Collison is probably the best candidate to be moved. And then you follow that up with probably Bogdanovic. But again, you know, the Pacers have to be willing to sell on some of these guys.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation for them. And they've been kind of dropping in the playoff race a little bit. Sorry to bring that up, Corey. But, you know, it might be best bet for their future. And obviously Oladipo, we hope, is 100% back next year so they can make a strong run. Now over from the Pacers onto the Knicks, Enes Kanter, you know, 18.6 mil, you know, probably going to be pretty hard to trade that contract unless somebody's really looking for him. The Kings have been the main team interested. Any other team you see interested in Kanter?
No. I think the Knicks should just keep him because they're losing with him on the roster, and I don't care if he's happy.
He doesn't play, though, so it doesn't even matter.
Yeah. I guess if the Kings want him, you can trade him. But, again, Kanter's a guy who doesn't play any defense. His offense is somewhat, there's nothing special about Enes Kanter.
He's a really good rebounder. I'll give him that.
That he is.
He's good in the post, you know, obviously offensively limited, but I think he could give you a solid scoring punch off your team. He's a guy I look to get bought out. What about Noah Vonleh?
Noah Vonleh's a guy I love. And I'm really happy for him. And I always think back to the preseason podcast series that we did. And we said, like, this could be possibly the last spot of Vonleh's career if he doesn't get it together after his stint in Portland. And now we're talking about a guy who contenders are going to be looking to acquire probably because of how he's played in New York, which is freaking awesome. So shout out to Vonleh on a really good first half of the season. But, you know, I look at the teams like Brooklyn maybe want to take a risk on him. I wouldn't be surprised if OKC, Portland, I know who, I think Houston could have some slight interest if they could try and pull him away. But yeah, I think Dallas too, maybe. No, Dallas just made a trade. They would have already got him if they wanted him. but I think those are a few teams that stick in mind that could use a guy like Vonleh, who's a five or a four, depending on how you want to play him. Pretty athletic, good wingspan, can defend. Fours and fives can start to shoot the ball now a little bit from deep.
Yep.
So he's an interesting guy.
Yeah, I think fours in general, you're looking at, you know, Mirotić, Bobby Portis, Jermichael Green, and Noah Vonleh. There's some guys that'll be out there, not too high of a price, all expiring, and they can really add something to your team. So pretty much all the teams we named for those other three guys, same thing for Vonleh. I think I wouldn't be surprised if all four of those guys are moved, or at least two of the four.
Yeah.
What about the Knicks' recent acquisitions of DeAndre Jordan and Wesley Matthews? Now, they can only trade these guys in a single deal by themselves, so that you got to take that into account. But they are guys that could be on the move and help a playoff team. And if they're not traded, they'll almost definitely be bought out.
I have a question mark next to both their names because I thought I read a report about the Knicks saying they weren't going to move them.
Yeah, that's just the Knicks saying it, though, in my opinion. It wouldn't make much sense, and I don't think either guy would be very happy playing on a 10-win team the rest of the year.
Okay, I just had to address that because if they're not going to move them, the Knicks are stupid because you're not tanking them. Because like you mentioned, those are win now players. I think for Wesley Matthews, a couple teams that stick out. Maybe the Sixers have interest in him as a wing. I think Detroit, if they're trying to seriously make a playoff push, could possibly use just 3-point shooting and slight defense. Out west, I mean, you could make a case that maybe Houston would have a little interest, but. I don't see a lot of teams out west being interested.
Lakers, I think, would be interested.
You think so, and Matthews?
Yeah, I think they need some – if they want to actually make a playoff run, they need some veterans just to have someone LeBron can kind of count on to do some things right or just steady the ship. Like, he has good experience. And pretty much the same thing with DeAndre. DeAndre, I think, has more of an impact on the court. I know he's been, like, all over the place in Dallas in terms of his play. But if you could get him motivated, I still think he's a good player.
I think you mentioned on the probably the last live show when you guys did the Porzingis trade about the Lakers and DeAndre Jordan. I think that'd be a good fit because he's definitely better than McGee. He's definitely better than Zubac. He's definitely better than Chandler. And I think, you know, LeBron could get a lot out of DeAndre Jordan in terms of around the rim. But, yeah, I mean, DeAndre Jordan is definitely a player that a lot of teams could use because I don't think he's done yet.
He just needs to work on his like mental engagement. Like, right. He has too many mental mistakes or plays where he just does the wrong thing or cares about grabbing the rebound and stat stuff and like that. So I think he in the right situation, he'll be great. Any other players we didn't touch on you want to mention, Corey?
None are coming to mind.
Yeah, that's fair. We touched on pretty much almost every single player in trade rumors. We might have missed some of the smaller guys. You know, we didn't touch on Bradley Beal or Kevin Love. I think it's unlikely those guys are moved. You know, Washington pretty much doesn't want to move him. Love hasn't played yet, and I don't think a team's really willing to pay him for this season if they don't know if he's going to play. And Anthony Davis, you know, we talked about him on the previous show. Not really much to say about him. Nothing's really changed. Yeah, his dad said he doesn't want him to play for Boston, but his dad's not the one making the decision anyways. So anything else on those fronts for you?
Why are dads so active in the NBA?
Hey, at least they're part of their lives, so give them credit for that.
That's true.
So, but any other dark horse big names you could see moved at the deadline?
Dark horse big names. Is Derek Favors considered a big name?
I wouldn't call him a big name, but I could see him being part of any trade that Utah uses to upgrade because of his contract situation, which is the second year is only partially guaranteed for you, for those of you that don't know.
Right. No, I really don't see any earth-shattering moves. You know, I mean – if things get really bad in Boston, maybe they go crazy and make a drastic move. We didn't mention anybody from Boston, so I think Terry Rozier would probably be the only name from the Celtics we could have talked about. on guys who are probably going to be dealt.
Yeah. And they've just won three straight, so now all of a sudden the ship is steadying, even though they have all the Kyrie drama, which I think he's just kind of creating.
Yeah.
He's just aggravated. So I would be surprised if they made a move. You know, like teams, like we kind of talked about on the last show, the biggest buyers and sellers, if you want to listen to that. Anybody else, I just don't really think there's a ton of guys. You know, there's been some rumors about maybe people calling the Clippers about a couple guys, but the Clippers seem like they want to remain competitive and try to at least sneak into the playoffs.
Makes sense for them to do that as well. You know, you're not
set the culture for the free agent class. And then if you look at the Western Conference playoff picture, there's just so many teams that are so close that there's bound to be smaller moves. It's just the big moves don't seem as likely unless somebody gets really desperate.
Yeah.
So, but that wraps it up. As always, Corey, a pleasure. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Check us out, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube.
Peace out, Knuckleheads.